Well, thank you. Thanks so much. It's wonderful to be here. I should say good morning, everyone. Bonjour à tous. That's the French greeting. I think we have some. It's just a privilege, an honor, a privilege to be here and share about Bongo Hospital, what our team, our missionary team does there, what our broader multicultural Gabonese and missionary team does there. And what really what God does there and how he acts, how he shows up on a regular basis there at Bongo. So as was stated, our backgrounds, our sending church is Centerville Community Church, same district, Ohio Valley District. It's up in Centerville, just south of Dayton. We're full-time missionaries of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We were sent to Gabon in 2017, after a year of language study, French language study in Albertville, France. We did that 2016. I'm an anesthesiologist, as stated. Some people tell me that, oh, well, you get paid to put people to sleep. And I tell them, no, better yet, I get paid to wake them up. Because that's the most important part, right? I was an anesthesiologist 10 years here in the Dayton area at Miami Valley Hospital in Dayton, Ohio. And God called us over to Bongo Hospital. You'll hear more about that here in a little bit. So where in the world is Gabon? And where is Bongo Hospital? Some of you probably, if you've been around the Alliance long enough, you know about Bongo Hospital, and it's already been stated. You've been praying for us. Not only praying, but giving through the Great Commission, Great Commission Fund. Thank you up front for those prayers. Thank you up front for giving to the Great Commission Fund, or actually giving straight to Bongo. Certainly appreciate that. For those that do not know, Gabon is a country in Central Africa. You find the equator and go all the way to the west side of the continent of Africa, you'll find Gabon. The equator runs right through there. So we are about 3 degrees south of the equator, about 10 hours south of the capital city called Libreville. You can see that there. Libreville's way up on the coast, and we're down in the interior of Gabon. And very rural environment there. The hospital was actually started back in the late 70s when Dr. David Thompson, which a lot of you may know that name, but he and his wife and some other nurses were called there to start a hospital. The mission, actually, the Christian Missionary Alliance has been there for almost a century now. They went there in the 1920s, to start church planting. Really, the history of Christian Missionary Alliance is a lot more than just the hospital there. And they've planted numerous churches throughout Gabon. And actually, the church planting ministry left Gabon in 2008 and moved up to Creative Access countries, North Africa, other areas of Africa, using their resources there. They left the hospital there because it's such a wonderful ministry and provides great needed care that's there. So there's 20, 25 full-time missionary workers there that work alongside 100-plus local Gabonese personnel. So it's a partnership, and we serve all of Gabon, really. Most of the care, hospital care, for southern Gabon, but many people come from the capital city for care, and then also even other countries. It's a blessing to work there and take care of those people that come from other countries as well. It's an outpost and an outreach for sure. This gives you a little bit of a glimpse of where we're at and how it's really thick jungle, hot, humid, rainforest, you name it. You're sweating all the time. Let's put it that way. And so we have a hospital campus, and then the missionaries and a lot of our trainees live right next to the hospital. The hospital itself, we take care of everything that you would in a small community hospital. We have all the various departments, adult medicine, pediatrics, surgery, maternity, ophthalmology, all those things. And So it's a small community hospital that has 160 beds, but you would picture it as that, but with a lot less resources. So we wouldn't be able to give all the medicines that you would find here in the United States. We wouldn't be able to do all the procedures or all the x-rays or those things. But we do provide really good care there and for the Gabonese people that come and the others that come as well. That's a picture of us about 2 or 3 years ago. As was stated, my wife, Amy, her background is not at all in business or accounting or anything like that, but God called her to work there, and there was a gap that needed to be filled, and that's where she works. She works as a part of the accounting and insurance claims processing. Myself, I run the anesthesia training program and also serve as oversee all the anesthesia services. And you're probably wondering why in the world would somebody mid-career find themselves in Bongo Hospital, really at the ends of the earth. Look at Acts 1:8, it is the ends of the earth. Why would somebody, you know, in their mid-40s find themselves over there? Well, it's because God called me and called us to go there, and we did it. About 10 years ago now, God called us, was speaking to us to change our lives. We were very much a part of our church, our sending church, the Centerville Community Church, and the Christian Missionary Alliance, very much missions-minded. We went on numerous short-term mission trips in preparation. God was preparing us. Led a lot of those. I was elder at that church. Amy was very involved in missions and then also women's ministry. And God tapped us on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I want you to do something different." We had no idea it was this. "I just want you to do something different and follow me in what I want you to do. You're doing a lot of great things, but I think most of those are what you want to do, and you're bringing me along with you." And so at that time, we went into a season of prayer and really just prayed and said, "Well, what is that, God? We have no idea what that is." And about 3-4 months into that praying, a friend of mine at the hospital that I was working at up in Dayton came to me and said, "Hey, do you want to go to Bongo Hospital?" Out of the blue, working in the operating room as an orthopedic surgeon who had been there before. And I said, "Wow, Bongo Hospital, I know about that. I've heard Dave Thompson speak. I've read his books in the Christian Missionary Alliance. I know about that. Yeah, that would be great. It's something I can do in a short-term mission context, anesthesia." So I went and fell in love with the place, the concept of not only providing great compassionate care in Jesus' name, but also training and discipling Africans, training, discipling, and sending them out. That was a wonderful model. It was obvious. And I thought, "Well, God, this is it. I'll be going back and forth doing short-term trips every so often, twice a year or so. That's it." And God really said, "No, no, no." And it was the second trip that I went. I went actually on a second trip, and he said, it was very obvious during that trip that someone needed to do what he was calling me to do, train and disciple Africans, and also share the gospel with our patients. Somebody needs to be there full time. I felt like, well, I would go home and find that person, because it doesn't make sense that a 47-year-old at that time would that doesn't make sense in my mind, right? Not in God's mind. It was, well, what about our family? What about my son who was in high school, my daughter who was in college at the time? What about finances, retirement? What about this? What about this? All those what about questions when he's calling you to step out into something. And finally, I was on the little plane traveling back to the capital city, and he said, "Listen, you're asking all these questions. What about this? What about that? I've taken care of you for 40-some years. I think I got this." And it was at that time, and I said, "Well, wait, what about our son, Aaron?" Aaron was not really walking with Jesus at the time. He was in high school. He wanted to go to a to Miami University, actually, and see what that was all about, secular life and party and all that. And I said, well, what about Aaron? It doesn't make sense that we would leave this country at the same time he's going to the university and straying away from you. We need to be here. And God's like, no, I'll take care of Aaron. Don't worry about it. I want you to go there full time. So I said, okay. And obviously, Amy was very much involved in this. It wasn't just me. We had another season of prayer and talked to a lot of people about it, got some counsel. And basically, it was God was saying, you're trying to figure out all the steps in front of you for this journey I'm calling you on to go to Bongalo, because there's many steps to get there. Don't worry about those. Just take the first step. And really, that's all he's asking us ever to do is, right, is to commit to the first few steps that are in front of us and do it. And we did that, and all along the way, God has worked and has acted all along the way, and we've seen him do wonderful things, especially for our son. Our son Aaron went to Miami, had a rough first semester, but then got involved in Young Life Ministries, turned his life around, and he's still on fire for Jesus. He graduated from there, has a great job, now he got married this summer, and God took care of the top thing that we were worried about. God took care of it. That's how somebody middle-aged, mid-career, working in a hospital in the United States gets to Africa. And it's been a wonderful ride since then. We serve at the hospital with a missionary team of about 20, 25 adults. And on top of that, we serve with many Gabonese as well, Africans. All total, probably 130, 140 Gabonese people work at the hospital in various capacities to run this small community hospital. So it's wonderful to work with them. And this is the hospital's vision. The hospital's vision is to see God glorified as people are healed, saved, equipped, and sent. And we do this, obviously, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we do it really in two fashions. One is providing that compassionate care, and one is equipping others, the training aspect. No matter what we're doing, it's either providing the care or training. And we do that, both of those arms, the gospel of Jesus Christ is infused into both of those. So no matter where you're at, if you're just receiving care, you're going to hear the gospel. If you're a part of a training program, we're training others to share the gospel. But we're sharing that. It's just infused with all the lifestyle there. So the compassionate care arm, really, that's been around, you know, since the 70s when it was started. We see 40,000 patients a year that come through our doors, and we share the gospel with them and their families. So more like 100,000 hear the gospel. People are coming to Christ. One story I want to share with you about the care that is provided there and just goes to show how God is working, how the Holy Spirit is working. This was about 5 years ago now. The lady who's sitting down there in that picture, she was involved in a horrible motor vehicle accident. There was about four people in the car. She was the most severely injured. And she came to the hospital. We had to do emergency surgery on her for some bleeding in her abdomen. Okay. She had some internal injuries, and then she also broke her pelvis and a few other injuries. So she was at the hospital for about 3 months, 3 or 4 months, and, did wonderful, really, beyond what we could really imagine there with the care that we could provide there. That's her husband. He's Muslim, at the time. And, he was in the capital city and would come down to visit her and go back and would come down and visit. He was working in the capital city. But the witness of the hospital over time led these two to Christ. And it's because of the care that she received, and then also just people being there, being present, and relying on God to transmit that message of Jesus Christ. She left the hospital, like I said, about 3 or 4 months after that. And the story does not end there. That's a wonderful story, but the story does not end there. She found herself up in Europe, actually in France, visiting some family. There's a connection between France and Gabon. It's a former French colony. But she was up in France visiting with family, and she had to go to the hospital. She had belly pain. She had to go to the hospital. So she goes, she's in France, goes to a major medical center there in Paris, and they tell her that she needs to have her gallbladder taken out. But she has, bad gallbladder. She has to have that taken out within the next few days. She didn't trust the people that told her that. She said, I want to go back to Gabon, my home country, and go back to Bongo Hospital to get my gallbladder taken out. She's in Paris. She left, came back to Gabon, came back to Bongo, and had her gallbladder taken out. So praise God, huh? I mean, she was, hopefully didn't get really sick along the way. When she came, she was fine. But that's a testimony. That's a testimony of the care that's being given there and how God is acting. Verse that's really near and dear to our hearts, Amy and myself, is a verse that God has given us. And we've held on to it in this journey. It's out of Psalm 37. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. It's almost a proverb sitting right in that, inside that psalm, and it really has three steps: commit, trust, and act. And that commit your way. That's like your path, your road of life, your direction. Commit that way to the Lord, and then trust him on that path. So if he's called you to do something, for us it's a call to Africa. For you, who knows? It's whatever he's called you to do. Talk to your neighbor, right? Go do this somewhere in your sphere. Normally, it would be in your sphere of life that he's calling you to something. He calls you to Africa or somewhere else. Commit to that. Trust in him, and you'll see him act like he acted for that Muslim family that came down and had the care there. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. And God actually gave us, I love biographies in the Bible, character studies. And there was a little one in Acts. You guys have your Bibles. Acts 9. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 10 through 18 or 19. It's a story. It's actually, Acts 9 is Saul's conversion story. And, we read Acts 9 and it's a great story of Saul's conversion, but embedded in that is another guy who was living out this principle of committing himself, trusting, and then God acted. And that's Ananias. It's not Ananias earlier in Acts who had a little trouble, Ananias and Sapphira. It's a different Ananias. But it says in verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. So, I love this character kind of embedded in Saul's conversion, because, I mean, he was critical to Saul becoming Paul, writing most of the New Testament. We read about, you know, we read many of Saul's writings, and this guy was key. Just a few points from that. The commit part, if we look at verse 10, it says he was a disciple. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. This was the early church. We don't know a whole lot about Ananias. But Luke tells us he was a disciple, so he was a follower of Christ. He was a Jew. He was a Christ follower. He was from Damascus. What we do know is, judging from what he does, he follows, right? He trusts and he acts on what God is calling him to do. He sees God act, that he merits the term, he's a disciple. And he was listening and responding. Another key thing, because many times in life we are not listening, right? The pace of life is so fast that we can't hear. We can't hear, or we hear and we don't respond because we're so busy. It says there in verse 10, if you look through verse 10 again, the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, "Here I am, Lord." You know, it's not the first time we've ever seen, you know, something like that. We see that with Abraham, with Moses, with Samuel. We get an example of somebody that is hearing, is listening, and hears God calling. A disciple is listening for God's message. Not only does he listen, he responds, "Here I am, Lord." I guess the question there is, how often are we taking the time to listen to what God is wanting us to do, and then hearing and then responding to that as well. But, you know, he didn't jump right out into this task, right? He had a little bit of hesitation, not unlike Amy and myself. We had some hesitation. We had a prayer time. We really had to think about this. We wrestled with it. And Ananias did too. He says, "And the Lord said to him, rise and go to Straight Street, a street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he's praying. And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him." But Ananias answered, so he questioned, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." So he questions God. He says, "Are you serious? This is that guy that wants to kill me. If I go and do this, it's dangerous. There's risk involved." The trust part of that, commit, trust, there's always risk involved, right? Risk is necessary. There's risk for the lanes to go to Gabon. There's risk for somebody to step out and talk to their neighbor. There's always risk involved to what God's calling us in. But risk is right. It's the right thing. We need to step out. But it's okay to question. It's okay to waver a bit. You know, that's human. Again, examples in the Bible. Abraham questioned, Gideon, Peter, the prophets. There's many examples of where people wrestled with that, but they eventually trusted and committed. And then there's the obedience side of it. Despite the questionings and wavering, he is ultimately obedient. So in verse 17, Ananias departed, entered the house, laid his hands on Paul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So ultimately, he followed the command. He stepped out. He was committed already. He trusted in what God was calling him to do on that path, and he stepped out and did it. And then we see the action and how God acts. He acts in that space. He does his work in the space where people are committing, where they're trusting, and where they're out and taking a risk. So that action part provides the impact, the story, the end of the story. So verse 18 says, immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. Then he rose. He was baptized. So God used this man, Ananias. He uses people, uses us to further his purposes. And he used Ananias to further his purposes in launching the career, really, of the most influential of all the apostles, Paul. His act of obedience, Ananias' act of obedience, led to a great harvest for the kingdom. Doing something that frightened him initially, and then he got through that, not unlike us, that was frightening to go overseas, but we got through that, God acted, and it changed the world, right? It changed the world. Really cool kind of application of that commit, trust, and act, which is something that the Lord has given us. We don't see the big picture. You know, God sees the big picture, and whether we're called to do something, a small task, large task, he just wants us to be obedient and jump out and do that, because he sees the whole picture and he has the whole puzzle in place. Those small acts of obedience that are premised on the word of God, even when they seem contrary to reason, middle-aged person going to Africa, Ananias going to the guy that wants to kill him, other things, even when they seem contrary to reason, and even when they seem to challenge what seems so plain, have great significance in the kingdom. Another story of how God is acting at Bonglo is through our equipping of others. And this is near and dear to my heart because it's really why we're there. We're there to lead people to Christ, and we're there to help train people in good health care. But the discipleship component, you know, we're all called to disciple others, And that's really how the spread of the gospel works. And this is a student of mine. His name is Paya. He came through the anesthesia training program. We train in good anesthesia skills, but we also disciple these young men and women to be Christian leaders through Bible study, through prayer, through really even older students or older anesthetists, bringing them alongside them. And Paya, not unlike my son, was a follower of Christ, but he liked to live in the capital city where all the action was. And he wanted, but his father worked at Bungalow and as a maintenance guy, and his father approached me about having Paya come and join our training because he's a nurse. He's a trained nurse, and he could join our program. That's one of the requirements. So we debated a little bit, but we thought, yeah, let's have him join and see where God takes it. And through those 2 years, I saw a life transformed and discipled. He now actually works for us, and he's discipling others. So it's a really cool application. And we're doing this not in just the anesthesia training program. We're doing it in the surgical training program, in ophthalmology training program, maternity. Even our maintenance team, the missionary that's ahead of maintenance, is training and discipling the others who train and disciple others. But this one is really neat because it was right in front of me and I could see that happen. And the really special part of that was I didn't really have a whole lot of discipleship for Paya. It was one of my Gabonese colleagues that took that on. And that is way more effective, you know, in the same heart language, the same culture, than what I could do. So really a blessing to see Paya's life changed. Wonderful to see where God's going to take him now that he's there with us full time and a part of the training program. So God works that space where you commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he acts. So he's acted in Paya's life. He's acted in the lives of that family, the Muslim family, because people committed and because people trusted. We can't do anything that we do there without partnership. Sure, we're on the front lines. We're there. We're there day to day. We're doing the action. We're doing the training. We're taking care of people. But there is no way we could do that without partners around the world. We have partners on every continent but Antarctica, Brett Bongo Hospital. We do. I looked at that one. We have partners all throughout the world, and we need them. And we need them first and foremost to be praying. And I know it was already stated that your church prays for Bongo Hospital. Thank you very much for that, because that is the primary work of partnership. Praise God for that. I have some prayer cards on the back table. Feel free to pick one of those up and pray for us. It'll lead you to a website that has prayer requests. And just remember us in your prayers, and remember the hospital in your prayers, the missionary team in your prayers, the Gabonese. And pray that we would just, as that the vision statement said, to glorify God in all that we do. Follow the Holy Spirit and glorify God in all that we do. Praying, primary point of partnership, the primary goal. But there's also giving, and we know that the CMA, church like this, gives to the Great Commission Fund, and thank you for that. That is partnership. It's partnership around the world, but it's partnership at Bongo Hospital. We thank you for that. Praying, giving, and going. If God taps you on and says, hey, go. You can come to Bongo. He taps you to go there. Short term, long term, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. We need anybody and everybody to come help, whether it's healthcare, maintenance, accounting, business, whatever. But that's the sending part, or sending someone else, right? That's a part of sending, when you can help somebody go, provide funds for them to go. So that's the going part. I want to finish up just with that same concept of committing your way to the Lord, trusting in Him, and seeing Him act. And the challenge today would be just to listen, like Ananias did, to listen, like the Lanes did, to listen and seek out that way. What's that path that, God, that you really want me to be on tomorrow, this next week, this next year? And God will show you that. It may be a little frightening. It may be a little risky. But I would encourage you to step out in faith and just see what happens. You'll see Him act. I've seen Him act in our lives personally, in our families' lives, in people at Bongo that are healed miraculously, in trainees that are, their lives are changed. That's where God acts. And we just need to step out in faith and then trust Him on that path. So many times we get on that path, we jump into that, and then we jump off because it got hard, or something happened, or whatever. But the second encouragement and challenge is just to trust Him on that path, and you'll see Him. You'll see Him act, and He will. And praise God for that. Thanks again for just a wonderful time that we could share. We'll be hanging out in the back. Prayer cards are there, and we'll be hanging out if people have questions or anything they want to talk about Bongo. We love talking about Bongo. We could talk all day, but I know that we have to limit these things. So anyway, praise God and thanks. All right. God bless.